What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
OTB AM
with Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow.
But in the meantime, Neil Tracy, good morning to you. You're tight five for us here. How are you?
How are you doing, Ger?
Yeah, good. The Irish scrum against Wales, it's been an interesting restart, essentially, since we came back for Andrew Porter. Obviously, this is not the position that he thought he was going to be in 4 or 5 seasons ago. But right now, he is our lone functioning test quality tight head. And he did really well last weekend.
He did do really well last weekend, and he's been doing really, really well for quite a while now. I think the fact that Tadhg Furlong is so good, it probably made us kind of didn't really fully grasp how good Andrew Porter has been as well for the last couple of years. The scrum is, you know, the Irish scrum has been rock solid, I would say, for probably the last 5-6 years. It's been the one kind of area of the game that really they have not had many issues in whatsoever. And part of it is because the solid, you know, the tight head props they've had, the likes of Mike Ross was steady as a rock, and then Tadhg Furlong coming in, and you've like a stream of loose heads like Cian Healy, Jack McGrath, and Dave Kilcoyne over the last few years then as well. But the other night, we saw that it was really, really good. They won a number of penalties against Wales, and most of it was coming from the Andrew Porter and Quinn Roo side of the scrum. So, like, the amount of kind of oomph that Quinn Roo was putting right through the back of Andrew Porter as well. Like the two of them, they are two enormous units, and there were a couple of penalties even when Rhys Carr, the Wales loose head prop, he was like he had collapsed before the ball was even in. You know, he was having that much problems actually just holding himself together before Porter and Roo were even actually properly driving, that he was chalking up penalties. But the scrum is going to be huge again this week. I just thought Andrew Porter deserved a mention as well, because he has had the burden of starting pretty much every game, every important game since we came back from lockdown. And I just think it's incredible. I was thinking the last couple of days, Tadhg Furlong hasn't played a game of rugby since February. And I don't know, Ger, if you can think back, how many times since August when rugby came back on the show do you think you have actually directly spoken about the fact that, well, Tadhg Furlong is missing at the moment? That's a massive blow.
I think
how many times?
After the Saracens game. Like the Saracens obviously destroyed Leinster in the scrum, and Furlong's absence was noticeable in that one, I'd say. But other than that, maybe twice other than that.
Yeah, and I just think that's incredible that, like, for a player of that quality, that we haven't spoken about his absence pretty much at all. It just shows the quality, I think, of Andrew Porter.
Neil, could I just ask one point on Quinn Roo? Because the tight head lock was a thing that came up quite a bit before the World Cup when Devon Toner was left out of the squad and Jean Klein was picked instead. Do we need to give him, I know you mentioned him there already, but do we need to give this position, I guess, a little bit more credit and a little bit more scrutiny when things go wrong on that side of the scrum?
Possibly, yeah. Like, I think it's one of those things where it's very difficult for us to look on the outside and see the impact that a tight head second row can have. I think it's very much down to what the players themselves will be talking about and the feeling they have. I do think, like, even though Ian Henderson is back this weekend, we'll probably get to it in another couple of points, but like, I would absolutely give Quinn Roo another start, because I think he fully deserved it the other night for what we spoke about there in the scrum. And I also think, just in general play, it was probably one of, if not his best performance in an Ireland shirt. And I think we're at a stage, particularly with these autumn internationals, where if someone comes in and actually does have a good game like that, you should be rewarding them with another shirt.
Look, that definitely makes a lot of sense, or at least, you know, putting them right in the mix for it and saying we've taken account of that and there is proper competition here, as opposed to shooing somebody straight back in. Having said that, Henderson was one of those players who was going to be a centre point for all Irish coaching and selectors from the moment that he got in the team. He hasn't quite been that. He hasn't quite been undroppable for Ireland.
Ian Henderson?
Yeah.
No, he hasn't been. And look, he's gone through phases as well where he's picked up kind of injuries. And he's had a few serious ones as well. But I think because James Ryan burst onto the scene in 2017, all of a sudden James Ryan became the undroppable second row. He became the guaranteed guy who was going to be playing in there. And then you were looking at the options to go alongside him, whether it was Ian Henderson, whether it was Tadhg Byrne a season or so later when he returned to Ireland. Guys like Quinn Roux, Jean Kline have also been knocking around there as well. And even Devin Toner was lasting right up until the Six Nations this year when he made his way back into the team. So there was always kind of like, I think we kind of had that in mind for Ian Henderson, probably had him down as a future Ireland captain, but I think it was the fact that James Ryan came through and just probably stole the limelight from him was probably what happened there.
Okay, one quick text here. England's pack, particularly the front row, will destroy Ireland's scrum. The difference Matt Proudfoot, the ex-South African scrum coach, has made to England forwards will be the difference in this match. Niche tweet, but are you concerned that perhaps this is where we... So this is another step up for Andrew Porter in particular. And so far, this has been the level where the difference between him and the incumbent has been noticeable over the last 6 months in particular. So what do you expect? Can Porter hold his own this weekend? Are we grand there now?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. Like, I think you could probably pick on one hand the amount of games that the Irish scrum have come out second best in the last, I'd say, 5-6 years, easily. If anything, Ireland's scrum has been better than England over the last 5-6 years. He's going to be coming up. We don't know the teams yet. If we assume Andrew Porter starting, he's probably coming up against one of Makavunipola or Ellis Genge. He's played against Makavunipola plenty of times already. Maybe played against Ellis Genge off the bench a couple of times as well. Like, I think where England have a power advantage over Ireland, it's around the field. It hasn't been in the scrum from what I can remember over the last few years. I think that, I don't think Ireland are going to destroy the English scrum. I don't think England are going to destroy Ireland. I think the scrum itself is probably actually going to be an even enough keel throughout the game.
Okay, let's talk about the second one, or the tight five this morning, defending at set pieces. Are we good? Are we bad? Where are we at the moment?
It's not so much where we are. It's actually how good England are at attacking off set pieces at the moment. And just the game against Georgia that I watched it back yesterday evening. And the first thing that jumped out, 6 English tries. All 6 of them came within 2-3 phases of a set piece. So for 3 of them, Jamie George walked over off the back of a line at Mull. For 2 of them, it was first phase or within a couple of phases off a scrum, and then kind of short little pick and carries off the back of a dominant scrum. And then the middle one would have been towards the end of the first half when England scored. And that was first phase off a scrum, kind of about 40 yards out and just running one of those beautiful kind of power plays and going over in the corner and, you know, tearing the Georgian backline apart. So they clearly use their set pieces as a form of attacking. They're not necessarily using their scrum as, you know, the opportunity to just walk over other teams and milk penalties and milk 3 points as much as possible. Ireland do this as well a lot, where the function of their scrum is actually to get the ball in and out in a nice timely fashion and use it as an opportunity, as a platform to attack, rather than just trying to walk all over each other. But particularly the Mall defence, that is going to be huge, because England, they just literally just walked themselves over for 3 tries in that opening 15 minutes. So when you're talking about the lineouts and the 22, stopping England setting up a Mall, going back to maybe some of the things we spoke about France doing against Ireland last week, where they're targeting their pods to kind of try push England back towards the touchline anytime they're trying to set up a Mall, or cut that off right at the start and make sure you have someone sacking a player as soon as they hit the ground after the line out, maybe not contesting line outs as much, because that's where you overcommit bodies, and that's when you start to, you know, if you overcommit the bodies at the line out to try and steal a ball and you don't steal it, that's where you end up in a situation where England can set up a Mall quite quickly against 1 or 2 players. And then they get the momentum early on. And once you get a bit of momentum early on at a Mall, that's when you're creating a lot of trouble.
So what do we do?
what we do is, I think on those ones, you try sack them as quick as possible. Probably don't challenge in your own 22 as much. And then for first phase attacks, you know, depending on take the ball off the top of the line out, it's pretty much pushing up as fast as you can, putting as much pressure on them. Things that England have been doing to Ireland over the last few years, and getting into their face straight away and not allowing them the opportunity of getting the ball across the hands.
That's line speed, essentially. That's what, yes. when the definition, when they're after, when we beat England at the weekend, they'll talk about the great line speed, or if they hammer us, they'll be like, oh, our line speed wasn't very good.
When they pass the ball, run fast.
Dealing with England's power is next.
Yeah, and I suppose the one thing that we can be all grateful of is that, well, hopefully he gets back to full fitness at some point in the next few months, but Manu Tuilagi isn't around this weekend. So that is the first victory Ireland have had, because when Ireland beat England, Manu Tuilagi is not around, which we've seen over the last 10 years or so. So that's the first thing anyway. It's also probably why I mentioned Quinn Roux, why I'd be interested to see him stay in for this weekend, because he does bring an enormous amount of power. And I can certainly recall over the last few months being on this show a handful of times, and the issue of England absolutely battering Ireland with their sheer power has been brought up almost every single one of those, because it was a major issue in the game against England at Twickenham in February. It has been an issue in pretty much all of the Ireland-England games over the last 2 years, ever since Ireland would have won the Grand Slam at Twickenham. Manu Tuilagi was a big part of that as well, but obviously he's gone, so that's something we don't have to worry about. But like, they did bring in Ollie Lawrence from Worcester into the centre in his place. He looked quite good the other day against Georgia. He is another very, very powerful runner. Like, they continued with Jonathan Joseph on the wing like they did against Ireland. Like, their backline is full of big, powerful players. Billy Vunipola, Jack Willis, and Maro Itoje are in the back row now. Jack Willis, player of the year in the Gallagher Premiership, and like, he is a brute force flanker. So just because Manu Tuilagi isn't there, it doesn't necessarily mean Ireland are going to win. It just means when Ireland win, Manu Tuilagi isn't there, but they still have an enormous amount of power to deal with. And I think this is a really important game for Ireland, not just in terms of results or anything, but actually really, really trying to prove to themselves that they can put it up physically to England.
What about England's kicking threat?
Well, the kicking threat is something that they've killed us with as well, because they kind of start off butchering us with the power and bludgeoning us with the power. And then all of a sudden, like, Ireland are, we're committing players into tackles. We're doing everything we can to try and, you know, just make these one-off tackles. And that's when the space comes in at the back. And we saw it at Twickenham this year with those two kicks in behind where, you know, bouncing balls lead to mistakes. And that's where England scored two tries. We saw it at the Aviva Stadium last year as well, at the start of the 2019 Six Nations, when you have, and what we expect will be the dual threats this weekend of Owen Farrell at out half and Henry Slade at first centre, or potentially as well, playing someone else at out half, having the likes of Farrell and Henry Slade in the centre, because they're so comfortable at kicking the ball. And then you've Elliot Daly at fullback as well. So the kicking threat comes from everywhere. They mix it up as well. They put high balls into the corners. They put grubbers in behind. They chip over the top. And it's where they've absolutely killed Ireland in a few games over the last couple of years, just with the versatility of their kicking game.
And then in terms of us, the out-half choices that we have to face, pretty stark.
It is. The fact that he did media duty yesterday would probably lend me to think that Billy Burns is probably going to be okay. He'll come through the HIA protocols, and I'd expect he'll probably start this weekend. I do hope that Ross Byrne gets some proper minutes. I want to see him get 30 plus minutes this weekend, because I think he needs it. He had that start at Twickenham before the World Cup when things went wrong, and ultimately it was the game that cost him his place at the tournament. And I think people have just held that game against him for a little bit too long. Like, it's a World Cup warm-up game when all other 22 players pretty much on the pitch that day disappointed, and yet he was the one that has probably carried the brunt of the blame and is still being spoken about. It's something that people are still holding against him a year and a bit further down the line, when he's played regularly for Leinster, he's done it regularly for Leinster, he's filled in constantly for Leinster in big games as well, and he has played well in those big games. He's 25. He's going to be 26 in April. I think it's about time he actually started getting some significant minutes. And I think a bit of trust needs to be put in him, because all we've seen of him in an Ireland shirt over the last few years is playing out the last 10 minutes of games when Ireland have either comfortably had it won or have been comfortably beaten.
Okay, so you're a Ross Byrne believer, and you think now's his time.
Yeah, ideally, I would actually like to start him this weekend. I expect that Billy Burns will start, though, but I do want to see Ross Byrne getting some proper minutes, at least one start over the next two games, and I want to see him getting some significant minutes in those as well.
All right. Neil, good stuff. That's this week's Cheers. Tie 5. Thanks very much for that. Enjoy the game. We didn't get a prediction. It's a little bit early in the week for that. We want to see the teams before we actually get to that point of it. OTBM live weekday mornings from 7:30 with thanks to Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead.
OTB AM
with Gillette. Proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow. That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation. OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show, is live from 7:30 every morning. Listen on the OTB Sports app or ask Alexa, Siri or Google to play OTB Sports Radio to start your day with the latest sports news and reaction. Subscribe by searching OTB AM on your podcast app.